T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
He played for the Bears for 10 years, a world champion in 1963. Our pal, Ed Obradovich. What did you admire the most about Doug Buffon?
Playing hurt.
What a football answer.
Okay, yeah, I know. It was a football
playing hurt. And not only playing hurt, but playing at a level of championship kind of football.
It's beautifully put.
Thanks, Obi. Take care. Take care, buddy.
God, what a great answer to your question of what he respected most about Doug. You're looking for something as a man.
I know, as a person. I know.
You've known him for decades. What is the thing you respect about him the most? Always played hurt.
Playing hurt.
You're a laugh right now.
So good.
Playing hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Vic. You're still a rookie to me.
That is so
It's a way
damn.
To tug at the heartstrings.
It's perfect.
I love football. Love it. Love it. I think it's the last bastion of hope for toughness in America, in men, in males.
It is the perfect answer to a perfect question.
The best people in the world, the best people on this planet play the game of football.
I am man enough, big and bad enough.
Playing hurt.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Playing hurt.
Oh, we're playing hurt. Happy Scorantine Day 22. It was by far my favorite moment of Scorantine 21, Mac. Playing hurt.
Yeah, that was a highlight. I'm going to salute Major Deep Cut right out of the chute. My goodness, did you catch the... You wouldn't recognize the voice because I doubt you knew it. Probably 99% of our audience didn't recognize the voice. The greatest people on the planet play the game of football.
The best people in the world. The best people on this planet play the game of football.
That's, you know who that is, Danny?
I don't.
That's former Northwestern football coach Randy Walker. Wow. Major Deep Cut. I will salute you. That is something. I had no idea that had been vaulted. That gets referenced every now and then.
It does get referenced, Mac. I recovered it last time we did, you know, the whole Score vault thing, and I came across it, and I didn't know that was something that was coveted. I know I hadn't heard it in a while, but, you know, then you guys started mentioning it after that a little bit, so I was like, oh, let's throw that in there.
Nice.
In the system, yeah.
So glad you did. Yeah, 1999 called. It wants the digital board back.
The best people in the world, the best people on this planet play the game of football.
Playing hurt. That's what I admire.
Playing hurt.
He played hurt.
Playing hurt.
He answered so quickly.
It wasn't his generosity. It wasn't his compassion toward his children. It wasn't how he treated everybody. Yes, all of those things, his self-deprecating humor. It was, he had a hamstring once, but he shot it and he went out there and played. That's what I admired most about.
With no hesitation either. Like, it was the simplest, easiest way. 5 years to the day since Doug Buffon died. What do you remember and appreciate most?
Our pal, Ed Obradovich. What did you admire the most about Doug Buffon?
Playing hurt. Plain
your
Earth
cackle.
Football answer.
I love the cackle. The cackle is great.
Well, I couldn't help it.
That's,
you know,
that's the equivalent of my "oh no" with Yasmani Grandal.
Oh, is it that distinct? Let me hear one more time, Danny.
Our pal, Ed Obradovich, what did you admire the most about Doug Buffon?
Playing hurt.
It's a little bit of a little sniffle.
That's great.
It really was. It made me happy because, you know, in these uncertain times, if you listen to one commercial on the station, there's a quest, I think, for normalcy, Mac. Like, people have said that us being on the air gives them a little bit of normalcy. That's amazing.
Nope.
Earlier today, Ryan Pace offered platitudes for like 15 minutes to the local media, saying nothing. That, to me, was some normalcy. Getting bent out of shape over 25-year-old sports arguments as if brought up by The Last Dance. Like, that's sports talk radio in a nutshell. And then there it is, Ed Obradovich going to a football-y playing hurt thing. Like, that right there, Mac, that is caring about the insignificant in times of, like, seriousness. That is sports radio in a nutshell. And I love that. That felt very normal. That felt very 8 weeks ago to me.
Yeah, it certainly should feel normal. There's nothing like the resurrection of 20-plus-year-old grudges to get people feeling like they're sports fans again, right? And that certainly is what The Last Dance is beginning to accomplish. And I did not catch the interview with Tim Floyd on the Mully and Haw show this morning, but I heard Lawrence just a little while ago replay a chunk of it where he gets unnecessarily defensive of something David asked him. And I just love it that we're going to relive all of the tough things about that 98 season. It's all coming back, and we can refresh our disdain for the management team that blew up that group. We can get mad at the players for the role they played in it, or if you want to, for dehumanizing the GM, who they clearly didn't like. And not only do we get to do this here in Chicago, they're doing it nationally because there's nothing else going on right now other than an NFL draft. So it's going to be the focal point of Jim Rome commentaries. It was discussed at length on Boomer and Geo yesterday on WFAN in New York, and I expect a lot more coming over the next several weeks. This is going to be one of the biggest things, maybe the biggest thing next to the NFL draft on the calendar this spring in America, not just here.
Yeah, in the sports world, certainly, and I loved it. And I have to be honest with you, like, when I was watching it Sunday night, I had no interest of being on my phone and on social media, which, you know, is rare for me. I'm two-screening everything these days. But I was locked in. I was like, I want to rewatch my childhood through the eyes of adulthood. And then I had an absolute blast treating it like it was a Bears game on the show with you yesterday, and parsing it and going over it. And what's your opinion of Krause and of Scottie Pippen, and talking to Rusty LaRue and Sam Smith? And it was awesome. And then we get that Tim Floyd anecdote from the station in Baton Rouge, and he told it again today to Mully and Haw that Krause flew him out to Seattle, and it was this multiple times that he had met with him, and that he was considering breaking up the team after the 72-win season before they had even won that fourth title, and he introduced him to Reinsdorf. And I'm like, we could have been robbed of the second three-peat. We could have been robbed of my favorite parts of the Jordan era, the parts that I remember most from my childhood. And I was angry. I was angry, as if it was right there. It was so weird.
Tim Floyd could have coached that team to its fifth and sixth championships, don't you think? I mean, where were the players going to go? They didn't have any leverage. They're going to sit out. They're going to not play like they said they were going to do. I mean,
Jordan signs those one-year deals for $30 million for the 97 season and the 98 season. So like, if he could have said, I'm not playing for Phil Jackson, potentially. And depending on how much Reinsdorf was really going to empower Krause, maybe he was going to trade Scottie Pippen, which is something that he clearly had been looking to do and was trying to do going forward. So, yeah, you're right. Like, it probably would have been fine, but I'm not convinced that team wins with Tim Flynn. He was a much worse coach than Michael Jordan. And if you saw anything from those couple of episodes, we know that those players had no problem undermining authority. Like, if Michael Jordan did not respect Tim Floyd, that could have gotten pretty ugly pretty fast.
Yeah. You know, we've laughed at athletes for manufactured ways to get the juices flowing. And there have been some bizarre things athletes have shared over the years that motivate them. Brian Cox of the Bears is about as weird as anybody. Said he used to, before they'd play the Packers, he would envision Packers players doing nasty things to, you know, loving members of his family. And that's what would turn him on. How about a team using its contempt? And there is no other word for it. Contempt for the general manager to keep motivated and to rally around each other. And for them to hold that as deeply as they did for as long as they did, that they turned that into a rallying cry is pretty remarkable.
I agree with you. And it's just one thing in the long lineage of Jordan's slights, right? All the way back from not making varsity as a sophomore. And then you learn later on that that was like a technicality at the school, that it wasn't something that was really apparently available and normal and all of that. And he held on to it. And the Hall of Fame speech and being the third pick and each and everything down the line. Tom Brady, last week on Instagram, put out a post of every quarterback who was drafted in front of him when he was picked 199th overall. And he said he still remembers. You know, Draymond Green can name all 34 players drafted in front of him off the top of his head in order. It's just athletes hold on to slights because once you reach a certain level of greatness, yeah, you have to manufacture things because otherwise you look around and everyone's just telling you that you're the greatest and you've got all of the money and the fame and the power and the celebrity and everything that goes with it. Like, you have to figure out a way to still have that edge.
Yeah, well, that's a bizarre way to do it. But anyway, episodes 3 and 4 next Sunday night on ESPN, and we'll share some of that Tim Floyd a little bit later on as well. And score stories today, Parkins, top of the 3 o'clock hour with Cubs television analyst Jim Deshaies, who grew up in the same town as Hal Smith. Who was the actor who played Otis Campbell on The Andy Griffith Show, one of my favorite television shows of all time. We'll see what's going on with Jim Deshaies, and Matt Spiegel will check in a little bit later on today. What else is on the docket? We have Hub today because draft stuff is happening, and Ryan Pace, as you said, talk today.
Yeah, we can get into the Pace now. Yeah, Jim Deshaies at 3, Hub at 4, and Matt Spiegel at 5. And Matt Spiegel, by the way.
Yeah,
not just our teammate here at 670 The Score. We now have to be introducing him, just like Bruce Levine, as multimedia star. He is officially started up at the Marquee Sports Network. I was watching clips online just this morning of Cubs 360. It was Jim Deshaies, Bruce Levine, with Cole Wright as the host. They had a very nice HD shot into Matt Spiegel's living room.
That's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much.
Yeah. So he was looking good on the roundtable show.
Good,
yeah,
good.
Cubs 360. It's just weird, man. Everyone doing TV from their homes, and like all these celebrities hosting concerts from their homes. By the way, did you watch that the other day? Did you see?
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah, I saw Sherry Stott. I was doing something in the basement with Patrick. We were watching Dumb and Dumber, and Sherry stopped me because as I was happening to walk through the living room, the Rolling Stones had just been on. So we rewound to see the Stones check in piece by piece.
Yeah. So the Stones one was what I was going to ask you about. Keith Richards. And I know his like resting.
We talking Stones? We done.
I know his resting baseline is high. Like I know that, but
I know
he had the candles lit and his eyes weren't open, and he very clearly wasn't actually strumming the guitar. He was just kind of moving his hand. Why even show up?
I know. I want him to stop. I do. I wanted him to stop when I saw them on that Friday night in June at Soldier Field last summer. Just please stop. Somebody take the guitar off of his neck and don't let him have it again.
It was just so funny because like Mick is
yeah
doing the song. Like yeah. he is oh. You can't always get you what you want. He's doing the entire song. He is carrying everything.
Yeah.
And Ronnie's not playing any drums. And Keith isn't even opening his eyes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Charlie's the drummer.
Charlie's not playing any drums. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah.
sorry.
Ron, that's okay.
No. Ronnie was helping. Uh-huh. Keith was stoned. Uh-huh. Charlie legitimately was air drumming. Like, he was not contributing anything. And I was like, why are they there?
I know.
So bizarre.
Yeah. You know what? If Jagger wants to do it for another 10 years, I have no doubt he could probably continue to do it. His fitness level is remarkable. For any adult, it's good, let alone a guy his age. His voice is still very, very solid, and Ronnie Wood can still play guitar. But yeah, when I see those guys, I'm like, man, just please don't do it anymore. Just say no. Don't put the guitar around your neck anymore, Keith. You can't do it. It's okay. You gave us many, many good years, man. 50 years of this stuff. You can stop now.
I was like, it's so odd. Like, if I can tell that he's not playing the guitar,
right?
What about people who know music?
I know.
Who are watching?
You're
this?
Right. Well, you noticed him when we saw the show. We didn't see it together, but we were at the same show that Friday night, the first of the two they did on the No Filter tour at Soldier Field. You saw how uncertain he looked. And everybody noticed that Friday night. If you just anytime you looked, it's like that man's not playing with much confidence.
I
mean,
no.
You might as well have been standing up there trying to fit in with the Rolling Stones.
It was just, oh God. It was Emmett Smith in a Cardinals uniform. Like, it was just very, very sad to see. But it was for a good cause, but my God.
It was.
Like,
thanks
open
for
your
the
eyes,
fellas. Yeah, I know.
Open
I know.
Your eyes.
It was it was the thing.
You mentioned, all right, so Ryan Pace, we are going to get to this on the other side because he never says anything of substance, especially not right before the draft. But he says there's a new priority, for Bears draftees, draft picks. And it's like that line in The Wedding Singer. This is information that might have been useful yesterday. Like, I'm wondering if they would have just been better off if he would have applied today's sensibilities to a certain draft pick of 3 years ago. You'll hear from the Bears general manager next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Thursday night, when our pick comes up, Khalil Mack highlights will come on instantly. So that'll be the first thing that'll happen.
Oh, Ryan Pace. Practically Richard Pryor and Dave Chappelle all wound up into one.
Yeah.
This hour on the Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Yeah, listen, it's unfortunate that the Bears don't have a first-round pick, given how starved we all are for sports news, but I still would take 52 on the Bears over a first-round pick this year.
Yes, and congratulations to Khalil Mack for the very generous donation to a Chicago charity, $350,000. He is sponsoring some Chicago-based charity, and I think
just
that
Mac
is
being Mac.
Stuff.
There's nothing new.
That's Mac being Mac. Way to go.
That's very good. It's been cool to see guys step up and do different things. Zach LaVine's been pretty active. Allen Robinson has been active. Obviously, a lot of guys have been cutting the PSAs. Anthony Rizzo is doing tremendous work with his foundation. So, yeah, it's been cool to see the Chicago sports community step up. Ryan Pace met the media today, and he always says, you know, it's really awkward to talk to you guys now because I can't really share much, you know, right ahead of the draft. And I always think, like, compared to what? Compared to, like, when are you so forthright and forthcoming and just sharing all of these details? But even with the caveat that Ryan Pace normally doesn't say anything, he really is extra cautious ahead of the draft. There was a little bit in here that we wanted to get to, and it begins with Ryan Pace explaining why the Bears let go of Trey Burton.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we took a full evaluation, you know, of our roster, you know, after free agency and factored everything in, you know, that was the best decision for us. And we wish him nothing but the best of luck. You know, I know he had a good first year with us. Unfortunately, for him and for us, the injuries kind of added up, and we just felt at this time that was the best course of action for our team.
Ryan, this is Colin Kane from the Tribune. How long did it take you to iron out all of the technical details of how this will all work, and what have you done to make sure the communication is flowing well this weekend?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, it was a steady build over the last month, you know, as we added technology to all of our homes. About a week ago, we had, you know, our IT come in and really set up our house. So, you know, I probably have, you know, about seven different monitors here that we're all working off of. And it's been really seamless. It's been better and quicker and easier than I expected. So we had the mock draft yesterday with the whole league. That went really smooth from our end. And just communication with our scouts and our coaches through this whole time has been really good. And I think in a lot of ways, we've learned a lot from this, just in some of the different ways we can operate going forward, just to make things more efficient. That part's actually been really good.
Hey, Ryan, it's Hub. Normally, you would have had your veterans in-house in the workout program, at least a lot of them, and had eyes on these guys as far as the shape they're in and how rehabs might be going, off-season medicals. How does not being able to see any of your own players affect your thoughts about where your needs are going into the draft?
Yeah, I think we had the good thing, Hub, with us all being together, we had a really good picture that, you know, as we finished our end-of-season evaluations and exit interviews with players, just having continuity with our team and our staff, I think, helped with that. In regards to who's in shape right now and the health, you know, we've still been able to deal with our injured players from a rehab standpoint, so we know exactly where we are in regards to their status. And then in regards to everyone's conditioning, I'm proud of our guys, you know, just the feedback I get, the creative ways they've done to keep themselves in shape and to stay ready. You know, I think, you know, we built a roster of high-character players that are professional athletes that know how to take care of their bodies, and I feel like that's being done right now.
Ryan, how does the release of Burton affect your approach at tight end in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think we, you know, that's a position, you know, we've emphasized, you know, we did in free agency with the signing of Jimmy Graham and Demetrius Harris. So we have some guys there we like. I think, you know, the one silver lining last year as we kind of went through that position is we did accumulate some guys that are interesting for us, you know, as we look at the depth of that room. I know we got a lot of tight ends, and we got to filter through that, but there's some guys in that tight end room that are very intriguing and interesting for us. But I think with the adding of Jimmy Graham, Demetrius Harris, I think that helps fortify that group a bit. But, hey, if it's also a good tight end draft. So if there's guys there that we like, we consider it.
Hey, Ryan. JJ, have you come to a decision on Mitch's fifth-year option yet?
You know, right now our focus is all on the draft. And then we know we have until May 4th on that. And you know, we'll cross that bridge once we get through this weekend.
Ryan, with such an uncertain offseason ahead as far as the activities and the practices that you may be able to have, how has that altered the approach and the philosophy to this draft in terms of the you know, just the way you see certain types of players?
Yeah, Dan, I think it's a good question. I look at it this way. You know, football intelligence is always an emphasis for us. I think maybe we're even more mindful of that this year, just having guys with high football IQ. I also think, hey, that's when, you know, we have good coaches, and that's when we lean on them too, you know, to develop these guys under unique circumstances. I mean, we had, you know, the position meetings going on yesterday, you know, all over Zoom or Skype or what have you. And I think, you know, when you have intelligent football players, high football IQ, and then good coaches that can develop them, you find a way to make it work. And I think the good teams right now deal with the circumstances. They adapt to the circumstances. And if you do it better than the other teams, that's a competitive advantage for us. And I think that's what our guys are doing. I'm proud of the way our coaches and our players have adapted. But I think back to your question, I think football intelligence and IQ is always important for us, and maybe even more important this draft.
Hey, Ryan, this is Patrick Finley. Would you consider taking a quarterback? And I'm curious how, you know, the addition of Foles and at that cost affects the way you look at adding to the room, if at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're always going to take Pat the best player available. So if a quarterback was there and he was the highest guy on our board and in a strong way, we would consider that. I think we'd consider every position. You know, the draft is risky enough. When you deviate from taking best player, I think you just increase your risk.
Ryan, what are the most unique aspects of your at-home setup for this weekend? And on a lighter note, what do you stock up on as far as your snacks and your sort of stimulants for the weekend?
Yeah, well, the kitchen's like 5 feet over here, so it's close. But I think it's just being around your family. I mean, right now Carden's doing her at home school, you know, in one room over. So, you can hear that. And the other day, you know, I got this amazing setup, Dan, with all these screens, and Stephanie's vacuuming and hits the cord and every screen goes black. So you're dealing with the at home conditions, but, they've been awesome. And part of it's been really good because, I mean, I can't remember the last time for a month straight that we've sat down together and had dinner together every night. You know, that's rare, I think, probably for a lot of us. So that part's been pretty neat.
So there's Ryan Pace meeting the media today. He will be drafting from his kitchen, which is, you know, I would think that would be the most inconvenient for the rest of your family. Personally, like, why not a basement, a guest bedroom, an office, kitchen?
Yeah, well, hopefully Stephanie doesn't fire up the vacuum cleaner when the Bears are on the clock to knock all of his screens out.
You know, I got this amazing setup, Dan, with all these screens, and Stephanie's vacuuming and hits the cord and every screen goes black.
Jeez.
Seven of them. Seven screens. IT was here a week ago. Bears very proud of their IT. So what do you think? Because so much of this is being done via, you know, video conference and, you know, getting information out of guys, he says that this year, perhaps more than in a typical year, it's important to have guys with football smarts, football IQ, as he likes to say. You think this year really makes it that much different than any other year?
Think you think you'd always want him to have a high football IQ and a high IQ, but it makes you think of 2017, doesn't it? I'm so sorry to be the guy who keeps going back to it, but yeah. It makes you think. I mean, if maybe they just would have, you know, met with that kid from Clemson who's pretty damn smart.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Just maybe the football IQ, the, you know, real life IQ, it wouldn't be a problem and he wouldn't be sitting here. But I do think that it's why they went and got Foles. Like, I do believe that it was, like, Ty goes to the guy who knows your system. When you're not going to have an OTAs, you're not going to have a mini camp, you might have a truncated training camp, you can't get everybody together. So
right.
You don't have to teach someone the language of the offense, right? Like Andy Dalton fine football player, not great, just like, you know, he's got blemishes just like Nick Foles, but Andy Dalton would need to learn Matt Nagy's system, whereas Nick Foles played with Nagy and Reed in Kansas City, played with Doug Peterson in Philly. Like Nick Foles knows the system already.
Yeah, yeah, and a couple of assistant coaches with whom he has a history. Something in there I found interesting was when he was talking about the injuries to Trey Burton, how that opened the door for other players. I wrote it down. Where did I? We accumulated some guys who are interesting for us.
The tight end room has some interesting guys in there.
That's one way to describe the Bears' collection of tight ends: Jesper Vorstad and J.P. Holtz. At L, we accumulated some guys who are interesting for us.
That's really interesting.
We don't want interesting guys. We want some guys who can buy. I know what he's saying.
As Peoria Matt texts in, you know the old saying, Mac, when you have nine tight ends, you really have none.
Right. You're right.
Nine tight ends.
Yeah.
Is an incredible accomplishment.
Well, he said Burton had one good year. I'll give him that.
I mean, he had less than 600 yards.
Yes, it wasn't an overwhelming year given the buildup with which he arrived. And I think after Philly special, it was probably natural for all of us to have an overinflated sense of expectation for Burton. When he came into Chicago with, I think, 300 career receiving yards, he wasn't, that was Zach Ertz's team. It wasn't his team. But, yeah, and then he decides he's going to part company with him after a year when he can't stay healthy, and when he does, he's ineffective and doesn't seem willing from a physical standpoint. So he's cutting his losses. I wish he'd make fewer mistakes, but I do give him credit for at least admitting the errors of his way a little bit more quickly.
I mean, sure. Like it saves him like $1 million against the cap to do it this way. They were already committed to $22 million over the two seasons with the $4 million he'll get this year.
It's a bad one. It's a terrible signing. It's one of his worst.
I'm just saying, cutting his losses, he had already earned all of his guarantees. Like, there's no, this was when it was the first possible time to get out of that contract, and they did it. So, sure. Like, that is the lowest bar you can possibly set for, like, hey, this guy, it was an absolute failure. You now can get out of his contract, and you're getting out of his contract. And by the way, they might just be replacing him with another tight end who's injury prone and old and flawed with Jimmy Graham. And Demetrius Harris is an athletic freak, but has never lived up to his potential. Like, there's no guy who checks all of the boxes on the roster right now. It's still a very unimpressive group.
Yes, it is. Although interesting to them, I'm back to Ryan Pace's kitchen and where would be most appropriate. I agree with you. That has to be a high traffic area. Everybody at some point is going to go through there four or five times a day. And that seems like it's going to, unless he's just kicking the family out for the draft, that's probably what he's got, right? I mean, he's not going to run the risk of Stephanie vacuuming.
Well, it is draft day.
During the draft, right?
He just wants to be close to his pancakes.
Hey, Tom, you're up early.
Well, it is draft day. How you doing?
Well, I'm great. I'm having a great day. Just about you?
Well, I'm sitting here eating my pancakes, thinking about moving number one.
I hear you, man. I'm all in.
What did you call him the other day, Patrick, saying pancakes? That was very good.
That's what he is.
He's great. Captain Santos.
Yes, exactly. And where is he? He's in the...
I'm here in the ass crack of the world.
I wasn't even sure if I could say that. Can you say that?
Yeah, yeah. The Afghan deal. I couldn't pull it last time when you asked me about that. They were trying to pull off the Afghan deal in that movie.
I watched the last 40 minutes of that movie the other day.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it last night, as a matter of fact.
Nice. I'm in the ass crack of the world defending your freedom.
What an artist.
Same pen.
Speaking of art, Tim Floyd with Molly and Haw. I want to hear this awkwardness. I want to bathe in this awkwardness before Jim Deshaies at 3 o'clock coming up on The Score.
Don't call me Jerry Krause's boy.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you. Tim Floyd did not want to be called Jerry Krause's boy. Tim Floyd was on with our friends Mully and Haw this morning. And Mac, I have not heard this in its entirety, but Tanny said that he was able to shower and get dressed during this answer. And so I'm just excited for the awkwardness that apparently ensues and Tim Floyd's response, justification, whatever it was, for exactly how it all went down. Because he's making news by saying that Krause approached him during the 96 finals, before they'd even won their fourth title, about replacing Phil Jackson before giving him a run at 5-6. And so here is Tim Floyd with Mully and Haw in all of its glory.
Tim, I heard you say yesterday, you talked in Louisiana on sports radio, I heard you say that you went to Seattle to meet with Jerry Reinsdorf. Now, that would be before the fifth title, and you had a long conversation with him, and you told him to kind of let you know, not to bring you in, more or less, and to let this have a natural break. Well, number one,
and that's not fully accurate what you just said. Okay. What I told the sports radio station in Louisiana yesterday was that first of all, the whole fishing buddy thing, that was just kind of a throw off by Jerry when he was asked by the Chicago media about his infatuation with me. My name kept coming up, and the reason my name kept coming up is that I said Jerry always had a coach in waiting and a coach in his, you know, that he had a plan for. I think he probably did with Bill Cartwright after, you know, when I was hired. And that doesn't make it right or doesn't make it wrong. But in 1988, 10 years before I was hired, Jerry Krause was scouting a player by the name of Randy White from Louisiana Tech, and had watched Randy White play three games that season. Randy was a big power forward, and he thought at one point that he might end up being the next Karl Malone, so he spent a lot of time evaluating him. And the three games that he watched him play were against our teams at the University of New Orleans, where we had the smallest team in the country. We had a 6'4 center, and they had P.J. Brown and Randy White. And anyhow, we beat him the three times that Jerry was there. And after the third game, he walked up and introduced himself. And he said, I've paid attention to you this season, and I'm Jerry Krause from Chicago Bulls. This is the first time I've met him. And I want you to know that one day you're going to be coaching the Chicago Bulls. And I thought, well, boy, that's nice, you know, and just kind of dismissed it and moved on. And Jerry called me like once a week for the next 4 or 5 years. And he was really encouraging me to run the triangle offense, which I had no interest in running. I was not calling Jerry Krause. Jerry was calling me. And I had no interest in doing that because I didn't feel like it fit my teams. He wanted me to come up and watch training camp and spend time around the organization. He sent me videotapes of literally every ball game for year 4 to year 10. Of what was going on, of which I paid very little attention to and didn't watch them because I had to worry about my own team. And about year 5 or 6, he said he felt like he needed to get to know me on a personal level. And so he asked me what I'd like to do in my off time. I said, I'd like to fish. So he said, could I fly down and fish with you sometime? I said, well, sure. So he came down and we fished literally one time. So, you know, during the 96
did you meet with
season,
Jerry in Seattle? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
And
beg your pardon.
And in year 6 or 7, whatever it was, 96 season, you know, Phil and Jerry's relationship was not great. And I'm talking about Jerry Krause. And so Jerry really wanted to make a change that year. and for a couple of reasons. And I think, again, this, you know, in looking at what general managers do, they wanted to be good for a long time. And he probably was looking at the value of some of his players. Were they declining players at that time? Could he get more value in order to keep it going, not to become the Celtics after the Celtics' demise, when after McHale and Bird and those guys? And what's the best way to keep a franchise moving? So that's what general managers do. They look at those situations. So he wanted me to meet Jerry Reinsdorf. And so he asked me to go to Seattle under the guise that I would be up there to see Irvin Johnson, my former player at the University of New Orleans, who was starting as a center for Seattle.
Right.
So I went up and met with Jerry, and to Jerry Reinsdorf's credit, Jerry Reinsdorf and I, we talked for two and a half hours. And my thoughts were that it was too early, that they needed to let it die its own death, and that this franchise was bigger than anything that I had ever witnessed in my lifetime in any professional sport. And that I still thought they had something in them, and Jerry Reinsdorf did as well. And so he said, would you tell Jerry Krause that? And I said, absolutely. So after they won the championship, Jerry called me, and I was at Iowa State, and I want to make sure I'm really clear on this. I was not sure in any way that is what I wanted to do, was be a professional coach. I loved the college game. I loved what I was doing, and I was fully vested in trying to win a national title at Iowa State. And we had to recruit. I had to worry about that every single day. And the last thing I wanted was any attention through the Bulls, because that would have damaged my recruiting. So Jerry called me. Reinsdorf asked me to tell Jerry Krause what I told him in Seattle. And I told him that I felt like it needed to die its own death, and that I did not want to step into a situation that was potentially that volatile. Because the team was very popular. The team, I thought, still had a lot left in it, and that their relationship may have been damaged. But in my opinion, that was really secondary to that team still having opportunities to win championships. And Jerry Reinsdorf said, I agree, and I feel like that's what we need to do. And Jerry Krause felt like, okay, but this is the last year. And so they went into the next year, and they won at Utah. And we had the same conversation after the first win at Utah. And I still felt like that team had something left in them. Jerry Reinsdorf did too. And Jerry Krause and Coach Jackson worked out whatever they needed to work out. But Jerry Krause, at the beginning of that next season, the last championship season, you know, I think that they came to an understanding that was going to be their last year. That's when Phil made the statement that, you know, wild horses couldn't bring me back. And then I knew at that time that I was going to have a decision to make, and still was
so
not
Tim,
sure.
But going back to like 88,
so there's Tim Floyd in one answer with the whole timeline with Mully and Haw. Wild, right?
Yeah. I'm going to get there. I'll get to Seattle in 96. I'll get there. I was in the middle of an anecdote, fellas. Don't stop me now. Oh, wow. Man, he can talk.
Listen to the whole thing at 670thescore.com, the Mully and Haw podcast page. That was, yeah. It's kind of shocking.
Well,
he wasn't able to.
What I'd like to do in my off time, I said, I'd like to fish. So he said, could I fly down and fish with you sometime? I said, well, sure. And so he came down and we fished literally one time.
Literally.
One time.
And that's.
So, you know, before during the 96.
Did you meet with Jerry in Seattle? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to get
to that.
Okay.
And,
take your part.
In year six.
He's in two different fishing halls of fame.
Oh, wow.
If you fish with someone once, that makes you his boy. Yeah.
Don't call me Jerry Krause's boy.
Yeah, well, you were. You were. And that's okay. It's okay to be somebody's boy. My God, this guy's been stalking you since 1988. It's a miracle it took as long as it did to hire him. 88's when the courtship began.
How about sending all the videotapes to him?
Sending videotapes of every game. Wow. Passing notes in class. Yeah.
Just a bizarre obsession.
Yes, he did.
I've got Phil Jackson winning championships who has the full approval of Michael Jordan. Yeah. But I want Tim Floyd. I want
gotta
that
have
guy.
This guy. I got to have this guy. Well,
totally.
Yeah,
bizarre.
He got his wish.
Yeah, and it worked out great. The two pieces of news here, one sports, one not. The daily COVID-19 update here in the state of Illinois. 1,551 new coronavirus cases with 119 additional deaths. The peak in the state of Illinois now not expected until mid-May, according to Governor Pritzker, and Mayor Lightfoot saying earlier today that she thought that it was possible that the stay-at-home order in Chicago could extend into June. That was from the mayor a couple of hours ago. In the sports world, Ian Rappaport and now Adam Schefter reporting that Rob Gronkowski's camp has told the Patriots they would like to be traded to Tampa. He's got 1 year and $10 million left on his deal that the Patriots own the rights to because Gronk wants to come back and play football with Tom Brady.
That's stunning. He had convinced me that he was 100% finished with it, wanted nothing to do with it again.
Yeah. That is a huge piece of news, and apparently they've been talking about trades, and there might be a draft night trade between the Patriots and the Bucks that would involve Rob Gronkowski. We can get into that story later on. Len Casper said we needed to talk to Jim Deshaies for score stories because he's got some great ones. We're going to hear from the Cubs analyst, have him tell some stories coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.